Glory. You enjoy that? Man, that's good singing. If I was in Alabama, I'd say singing, but this is good. And, you know, this church is so blessed. You ought to travel with me some. I don't see young people like this. I don't see this many that's up singing and praising the Lord. Man, I'll tell you what, that ought to make us whiteheads jump up and shout a little bit. Praise God. This church has been greatly blessed. Amen? Boy, you got the best pastor in the country. At least that's what he told me. But I believe him. I believe him. But, I'll tell you, it's exciting, church. Are you excited about revival tonight? Oh, my Lord, I know I'm in a funeral home tonight. We can do better than that. Amen? Put a smile on your face. Come on, you do better than that. Now, I want you to do something else. The person that's seated beside you, I just want you to say, I love you in the Lord. Would you do that? Boy, look at the women smiling. All right. You know what? We ought to never go to church without telling people we love them. And we ought to love on them. Praise God, friend. This is God's family. This is who we're going to spend eternity with. And, brother, thank you for singing, and great job you did with the young people up here. That blessed me tonight. That got me all fired up, seeing that many. And it's a good turnout tonight, and we're glad that you're here. Good-looking crowd tonight. Y'all notice it's a good-looking crowd. Ugly crowd last night. No, it's pretty last night, too. But it's a good crowd, and good that we've got visitors with us tonight. And if you're visiting, would you just raise your hand? Okay. I see a few. All right. I'll tell you a couple over here, Bud and Phyllis. I'm going to miss them. They're all the way from Maryland, and they're going to be going back early in the morning. Just raise your hand over here, would y'all? Now, I'll tell you what, they are lovely people, and we've enjoyed fellowship with them today, and I'm going to miss you folks. I promise you I will. But you will be praying for each other. And others that's visiting tonight, I'm glad that you've come. And I'm glad that my dear friend back on the back row came. She told me she was coming, and I am glad she came. And you know what? She did what everybody ought to do. She brought a visitor with her. And boy, I'll tell you, this is a good turnout. The place was about packed Sunday, amen? You know, the old saying about Baptists, if you feed them, they'll come. Let's crank a grill up out there, amen? But this is great, and I just want to thank you for your faithfulness and great turnout on Monday night, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night. And let's just see if we can just really work hard and get more people in here tomorrow night and then Wednesday night. I'll be bringing a message that is going to blow your socks off tomorrow night, all right? Do you realize there that there are four sins in the Bible, I'm not going to preach on that tonight, that it brings death. It brings death. Four sins. Four sins that Israel committed, and it brought death immediately. I'm going to bring that message tomorrow night, if the Lord let me. But I want you to try to pack this place out with me tomorrow night. All right? Are y'all happy tonight? Oh, man, I am. How many of y'all had a hard day? Let's see. Okay, all right. Okay, we're going to crank you up tonight, all right? You'll be feeling better when you leave. Tonight I want to bring a message that probably has never been preached in this church before. Maybe it has. What happens to dead churches? Does churches die? They sure do. They sure do. In fact, there's funeral homes all around. Every town I go to, there I see funeral homes. I see cemeteries. They're all around. The Bible says, appointed unto man wants to die, then the judgment. So we know death has come. But what happens when a church dies? What happens? I believe this happens. I believe when churches die, I believe demons move in. I believe the devil takes over when churches die. Your pastor and I, we won't call the name of the church, but both of us know of a church that at one time was running 250 to 300. I remember preaching in that church and we had to put chairs up. But I saw that church die. It died. It got down to just a handful of people. You could go there and you felt nothing. You never felt the Spirit of God there. But at one time, when you walked in that building, you would be shouting. Kind of like a church in Romania that I have privilege to preach in. It was for every time I walk into that church, tears begin to run down my cheek. It's filled with the Lord. I've had the opportunity to spend the night in that church. Some churches I don't want to spend the night in. But I'll tell you, I enjoyed spending the night in that church. You just felt God's presence so strong there. So what causes church to die? You know them. You've seen them. Maybe some of you have been in a church that's died. But tonight, I want to bring a message on four things that causes churches to die. You say, preacher, why are you preaching that message here as a warning? I'm going to tell you something. Satan hates his church. Brother, I'll tell you, he does not love any of you. He hates you. You think Satan is not mad at seeing all of these young people up there singing and praising God tonight? You think Satan is not mad? Look at this beautiful auditorium. The first time I came down here, I thought I was pulling in a barnyard. But look what you've got now. I mean, God has blessed you. Man, y'all got beautiful chairs and all of them match. Amen. I get into some churches, man, nothing matches. Amen. But God has blessed you. I mean, good day, the music that you have here, it's wonderful. You've got more talent in this church than any church that I get into. I don't know of any church that I get into that has the many young people, and the Spirit is just wonderful here. Amen? So I'll tell you, I want to bring that message tonight, but I want you to take your Bibles and let's go to Matthew 15 to start with. Matthew 15, and I'd like to start reading in Matthew 15. I'd like to start reading in verse 10. Matthew 15, beginning with verse 10. Y'all, I'll tell you, I've fallen in love with you folks. I have. I mean, I don't even have to tell you to get up. I don't even have to wake you up. Amen. But tonight, give you undivided attention to Matthew 15, beginning with verse 10. And Jesus, called the multitude, and he said unto him, hear and understand. That means that don't miss what I'm getting ready to teach you. It's very important. Jesus is the one who's saying, I want you to hear, and I want you to understand what I'm getting ready to tell you. Verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which come out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Woo! Boy, we could burn some wood there tonight, couldn't we? Huh? Amen. What comes out of the mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? Oh, me. Have you said some things today you shouldn't? Have you been negative today? And I know this would never happen to you all, but has any bad words come out of your mouth today? No. Okay. One lady confessed. She said no. Okay. And in verse 12, Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant, watch this, which my heavenly Father have not planted shall be what? Root it up. I'm going to pull it up. Pull it up. Rooted it. Pull it up. But look at verse 14. Watch this one. This goes in with our message tonight. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall what? Fall into the ditch. Hey, friend, that's powerful. That's powerful words right there. Amen. And how many people in churches today, they are led by the blind. They don't preach the gospel. No one ever gets saved. No one is ever blessed. One lady told me, I think she's here tonight. She said, well, preacher, tonight I want you to step on my toes. I'm not shooting for the toes. I'm shooting for the heart. Amen. That's why God does the work, is in the heart. Now look at verse 10. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. Has your thought life been today? Has your thought life been today? Are you thinking about things that you should think about? That's very important. You know why? Our thoughts one day are going to be judged. God knows every thought that we have. Now look at this. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. That's powerful preaching right there, friend. Jesus says, what did he say? Hear and understand. Understand. That's where we get in trouble. Amen. Many times we're not listening. The Holy Spirit is speaking. I'll guarantee you today, if you're a child of God and you're saved today, that if you had a bad thought that quick, the Holy Spirit said, that's not right. That's not right. How many of y'all had that today? Let's see. Rest of you lying. I guarantee you today, if you say that the Holy Spirit has said, hey, you shouldn't judge that one, should not have had that thought. Amen? Hey, friend. This is Bible preaching tonight. This is from God's word. Amen. So we had better do what Jesus said. He said, hear and understand exactly what I'm saying. Again, let's go to him in prayer tonight. Pastor, would you ask God's blessing tonight? Amen. Thank you. May be seated. When churches die, I want you to think about of this. When churches die, what are the things that really get in after a congregation moves out? I believe with all of my heart, you can sense it when the Spirit is not in a church. Amen. And then what happens? I believe evil spirits come in. I was telling my brother back here, the great big man who's got an arm big as my legs, and I told him, I said, you know, I sure would like for you to be my bodyguard. Pastor, I know you've never experienced what I did, but I was preaching in a church that I just described. It was dead as it could be, cold as a dog's nose. And I mean to say, it wasn't anything good looked like that was going on in that church. And they called me for a revival. So I went. And I was, I'd have preached my heart out. And all at once, when I got up to preach in the pulpit, I looked, and here comes a man walking down the aisle. He had a hat pulled down over his ears. He had shades, and he was just coming right toward the pulpit. And he came, and he never looked at me. He came right on around the pulpit, And he sat down in a seat right behind me. Everyone in the congregation was looking at him. My wife was out there looking too. When my wife gives me this, she means cut it off and get out of here. But anyway, I didn't. And I prayed a simple prayer. I had no earthly idea what he was up to. This thing had just happened in Charlottesville. It was a week after what had happened in Charlottesville. And I didn't know what to expect. So I said, Lord, I prayed. So I'm still preaching, but I'm saying, Lord, I'm talking to you. Are you going to handle this or do you want me to handle it? And the Lord said, just as clear as it could be, you preach what I told you to preach. So I did. Now, I did what any Baptist preacher would do. I'm not ashamed of what I did. I got out of the pulpit and I came down where the people were. I said, if you're going to shoot me, you're going to get some others too. Amen. I'm not going by myself. So anyway, I did that, and I went ahead. Y'all stop laughing. And I went ahead, and I preached that message. The whole time, everybody is not looking at me. They are looking at him. They are looking at him, wondering what is he up to? What is he going to do? And at the end of it, I gave an invitation, and I mean to say, no one was moving. They didn't know. They were scared to get up. They didn't know what was going on. So anyway, I dismissed the service. I had prayer. I'm thinking I didn't want anybody to get hurt, and I didn't want this evangelist to get hurt either. So what I did, I went to him. He'd come down. He was walking down, and I said, hey, got to talk to you. And I walked up to him. Great big guy. I would guess he was probably well over 6 foot. And I said, why did you come down the aisle and go up here and sit? He said, I was looking for God. And I'm saying to myself, I smelled alcohol. He was strange. And all at once, one of the women got out of the congregation and came up. And she said, preacher, I am so glad he didn't hurt you. He always carries a knife with him. He probably had a pistol with him, but he is on alcohol and drugs tonight. He has no earthly idea where he is. And I said, do you want to take him home, or do you want me to call the police? I can get him out of here. She said, I'm afraid to go with him. I said, fine. Set him down on the pew. We'll get the police come and take him out of here. And which we did. And they hauled him out. Friend, this day and time, you and I have no earthly idea who's coming in that door to hurt. I saw on television today, I forgot where it was, it may have been in Houston, that somebody got shot in a church. In Tennessee. Oh, my Lord, I got to go there for long. But anyway, somebody got shot today in a church, Tennessee. Look at the shootings that's going on. Look at the stabbings that's going on. Of all places, I never dreamed that in Charlottesville it would have happened the way it did. I live close to Charlottesville. I live within an hour of Charlottesville. I preached in Charlottesville right after that had happened. And, you know, we just don't know today. The church used to be the safest place that you could go. But it's not anymore. Amen? But if I got to go, I want to go when I'm in church. Amen? But I'm going to take somebody with me. Amen? But you know what I am saying here? Today, we live in perilous time. What does the Bible say? In the last days, there's going to be perilous time. There's going to be dangerous time. People are going to love pleasure more than God. People will have no respect at all for law, as we read in the book of Daniel. In the last days, they don't respect authority. They do not respect law. Did you ever think in your lifetime, in my lifetime, that athletes would not show respect to the American flag? Did you ever think? It would be such demonstrations going on in our land today. It's not safe anywhere. I tell everybody, I'm gone a lot. And my wife, amen, brother, I'll tell you, that's the best weapon you can have. But my wife, if anybody tried to break into our home, I feel safe when she is there. I don't protect her. She protects me. Said, how does she protect you? She's an Annie Oakley. Man, she's got a pistol. She's a registered carrier. And she can shoot a whole lot better than I can. I don't worry about anything. She doesn't either, I'll tell you. I got to tell you this little story, true story. A number of years ago, when I was pastoring, we had what they call a fall festival. And we did this for the school, to raise money for the school. So anyway, I kind of headed the thing up, and I was the last one to leave and the last one to get home. So I told my wife, I said, now I'm going to be a little late going, coming home, but I'll be after we secure everything here. So she went on home, and I forgot to tell her I was going around to the basement. I had to take some things into the basement. So I go around to the basement, and I'm banging on the door, and I'm banging on the door. The other pastor lived a block from where I did. She picks the phone up and calls him. She says, somebody's trying to break into our home. Said, they're down at the basement just beating on the door. My husband is not here. Can you come over here quickly? So he does what any Baptist preacher would do. He got his BB gun, and he comes. So help me. And he comes around the house, and he's got that BB gun pointed at me. He said, preacher, what are you doing, trying to break in your own house? I said, don't shoot me, though. But anyway, you know, things happen, and we never know when that our lives are going to be in danger. Now, I've said that to get to this. These are four things you can mark it down that when these things are taken out of the church, evil spirits will move right in. And I'm telling you, church, I am telling you, Crossroads Baptist Church, you'd better be on guard. Satan hates what is going on in this church. He hates this many young people. He hates for souls to get saved. God is blessing at work so much here. But the first thing that I noticed in the Bible, and I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The first thing that you can mark down that Satan will attack, and when you see this, a church will lose its power. Number one, when a church refuses to endure sound doctrine. When a church will not listen to sound doctrine. Look at verse 3 of chapter 4. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, and after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Don't jump. That's a powerful verse of scripture. Because what Paul is writing here, what God wants us to know, he said, in the last days, in these times, I believe that we are living in now. He says, a time will come that the church will not endure sound doctrine. I'm going to tell you, there are some churches that if I get in, and I always do it, I preach hard. I preach against sin. I preach the gospel. There are some churches that do not like that. They don't want to hear any preaching against sin. I've had preachers tell me, say, brother, I'd love to have you back, but you get our people all stirred up. Praise God, that's reading them there, amen? Time to get stirred up. Time to get stirred up. Let me tell you one thing. When the gospel hits the mark, we had better listen and obey, because one day, we are going to have to stand and to give an account for the life that we live. Friend, I'm going to have to give an account one day on the message I'm preaching tonight. I'm going to have to give an account for a whole lot. God has opened up many, many doors worldwide for me. Don't you think I'm not going to have to give an account? Have I prayed? Have I delivered the message that God has told me to deliver? I'm going to have to give an account for that. You will have to give an account. What will you do with what you hear tonight? I hope it's going to cause all of us to examine ourselves. It's serious business. Amen. We could be standing at the judgment seat very soon. Some of us white heads are going to be there soon. Amen. But we don't know when that day is going to come. Sound preaching, sound doctrine, preaching, teaching the Word of God. That's one thing I like about old Billy back here. Billy just opens the Bible up, teaches right from the Word of God. And I know your pastor, he preaches the Word of God. Amen? He preaches the Word of God because he lives it. And, you know, that's what you want. You don't want somebody to come and not preach the Word of God. This is what we all need. I like what Dr. Aaron Rodgers said. If you're not preaching the Word of God, you're not preaching. It's the Word. It's the Word that has the power. It's the Word. Dr. Aaron Rodgers, one of my heroes. I love that man to death. I got a big picture in my office, in my study at home, of Dr. Rodgers and I. Dr. Rodgers asked me one time, he said, "Brother Earl, is there anything I can do for you?" I said, yes, it can. I want you to put your hand on me and pray for me. I want the anointing of God for sure. I want the power of God on my life. And I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that Dr. Rodgers did that. And I'll tell you what, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. You know what? So many times that's what we lack. We lack the power. We lack that anointing. We lack that prayer that has to go in before we can serve God. And you know, it's so, so important. Don't ever leave that out. The second thing, watch this. It's very important. When a church stops witnessing, visiting, and praying, you're going to get in trouble. Look at verse 5. But watch they in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know, isn't it great when you can just tell somebody about Jesus? I had a lady came in to clean my room today. And I don't speak Spanish. I don't speak English too well. But anyway, I don't speak Spanish. And I asked, and I was trying to communicate with her. Are you going to heaven? I don't think she understood. Now, I gave her $3 or $4 to clean my room. She understood what money is. But I don't think she understood at all. I gave her a tract. If you only had 5 minutes left, where are you going? I gave her that track, and I tried to explain to her. And all at once, I think she got the message. She pointed to her heart and pointed up there. Yeah, that's the first step. But do you know him? Is he in your heart? And you know what? This is what I gave her that track, and I said, now you go give it to somebody that knows English and can know Spanish and be able to tell you. I hope she understood. If she comes back tomorrow, I'm going to lock the door and I'm going to make sure she understands before I leave. Amen? Hey, we're talking about a soul. We're talking about somebody that is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And that's the reason that it's so important. Be a witness for the Lord. This is what we are commanded to do. Tell somebody about Jesus. I'm a big believer in tracts. And I'll tell you, every time I fill up with gas, I'm going to leave one in the gas. Now, it's a different audience every day. People come. People read tracts. I think I may have told you this. My wife said, the older I get, the more I repeat myself. But I remember being in Florida, and the wind blew a tract away. And I never will forget it. I said, well, the devil got that one, I reckon, told my wife. And it blew it over the hill. 2 weeks later, after I get home, here's a letter and with the address on it, I had on the track. And they said, my mom had been praying for me for years. And I was surveying in Florida, and I reached down to get that piece of paper. And I looked, and all at once, this track hit my hand. He reached down to get a dollar bill, what it was, and a track hit his hand while he was reaching, picking up a $1 bill. And he said, I thought about that, and I read that track. And he said, what I did right there, I know Mama been praying for me. My wife had been praying for me. Said, right there on in that old field in Florida, I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent me a letter back. And he said, I just thank you. Because if it hadn't been for this track, I never would have been saved. And he said, by the way, I'm sending you the dollar that hit my hand too. Woo! Glory! You think it's not fun being a Christian? Hey, you think it's not fun seeing God work and God do these things? They are God things, friend. God does that. This might seem like a little thing. It just happened. I mean, I'm not used to all this traffic down here. I mean, bumper to bumper to bumper. I mean, where I live, if we got four cars in a row, we got a traffic jam. But I prayed today. I said, Lord, when I came out to come down here, I had to meet the preacher early. We were going visiting. And when I came to that intersection coming in to Route 1, I said, Lord, please. I've been looking at cars just flying by all day. I said, Lord, I hope that I can get across in that other lane, make a U-turn, come back. I mean, there's something else getting in here, honey, I'll tell you. So here I go out. I've already prayed, and there's two signal lights down there. You know, Lord done put red on both of them. All of the cars were down there. So help me, God in heaven is my witness. I just drove right on out. Did not see any car. Went out, made my U-turn. First thing I knew, I'm on 98. You know, you sitting there, wait a minute, preacher. You pray for little things. I pray for everything. Everything. And you know what? I pray. I said, Lord, that might have been a little thing to you, but it was a big thing for me because God did it. Chris had to ride me around and show me how to get back to the motel Saturday, wasn't it? And thank God, he's a good teacher. I'll tell you, I never would have found it if a preacher had given me directions. I never would have found it. Oh, I see. Listen, be sure, pray about everything. I like what a dear friend of mine, he's a pastor of Harvest Baptist Church in Lynchburg. He is one of the most exciting preachers around there in the area. He's young. He's got energy, and he's just carrying on something terrible there. I mean to say, the church is just growing leaps and bounds. So I have revival out usually about twice a year, and I'll be preaching in December again there, right before Christmas. But a few years ago, he said, Preacher, he said, I heard that you had a casket. I said, yeah, I do. He said, could I borrow your casket? I said, yeah, you sure can. I was preaching in Northern Virginia. It was a man works in had a wood shop up there. And I said, I need a casket. Would you make me a casket? Maybe about 4 foot long and not so wide. Make it out of plywood, put handles on the side. And he said, are you planning on dying? I said, no, not yet. And I said, but I'm planning on using it in some church services. So anyway, he made it. And so what I do when I use it, I have four men bring a casket right on in, set it up just like you would in a funeral. And what I've done, I put a mirror in the bottom of it. And then I have the deacons to come up first. And I'll say, now I tell you what, man, I'm going to raise this lid. And I want you to look over there, and I want you to tell the congregation what you see. So, man, they come. They don't have any idea what's inside. I'll raise the lid up, and one of them looks over. Ah! You know. I said, what'd you see? I saw me in there. I said, you're going to die. It's appointed a man wants to die. And, you know, the other two wouldn't do it. I don't know what. But anyway, I loaned it to this preacher of mine, friend of mine. And he sets it out, and everybody that comes in church on a Sunday morning has to look at that, at the, in that inside of that casket, and look at that mirror. Why? It's appointed unto man wants to die, and then the judgment. Do you realize tonight that every one of us, if rapture doesn't occur, you're going to lay down in that old casket. It's going to happen. Preacher and I visit a man today. I expect maybe, 2 weeks, probably at the most. But he's ready to go. But he will get in that old casket. Somebody will put him in there. You see, friend, that's the reason Jesus says today is the day of salvation. That's the reason that we need to be sure, that we need to be ready, because we never know when our time is going to come, that somebody is going to lay us in that casket on. And you know what? It's so important that we be faithful to God. Number three. Never stop fighting sin. Look at verse 6 and 7, what Paul said. I'm now ready. I'm to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. You know what he said? I'm ready to go. I am ready to go. That's what our friend was telling us over there tonight. We was praying with. He said, preacher, I am ready to go. I'm prepared. I've been looking forward to the day that I will have a new body. Looking forward to the day when I can see my loved one, see my Lord. What a glorious day it's going to be. This is what Paul is saying here. He said, now I fought my fight. Friend, life is a battle. Any of y'all in a battle? I mean, life is a battle, isn't it? It's not easy. Precious lady right here, I really appreciate what she told me tonight. She has been, what'd you have today? Dialysis. She's been, bless her heart, her arm all swelled up. She's been, 4 hours today? 4 hours dialysis. But look where she is tonight. She's in the house of God tonight. You think that's not being recorded in heaven? I'll tell you what, I'd hate to be home, be a member of this church, home watching television tonight, when you've got one like this that will come to the house of God. Whew. How many of y'all are glad you come tonight? Let's say, amen. I am too. Man, the Word tells us what the future's going to be. The Word tells us how we can live for Him and how we can please Him. I'm going to tell you something. I think one of the worst things that can happen to people is to be in an old dead church. They never hear the gospel. They never hear anything. They never see anything. It's dead. It's dead, friend. It's dead. It's like that church that I just described to you. It's dead. Nothing happens there. Thank God. Thank God. I preached my heart out there. But thank God, on the last night, a lady, I think she said she was 85 years old, walked that aisle and gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. She says, this is the first time I've been on the inside of this church for 3 years. But she said, I came tonight, and I sure am glad I did. You know what happened after that? It was another lady that was visiting from St. Louis. And she came and gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Two men came after that. We had four people saved in that church that was dead as it could be. The gospel still works. It's the power of God unto salvation. That's the reason. Never, never get tired of the gospel. Oh, how we need it. And then I close with this one. When a church stops looking for Jesus' return. When a church stops looking for Jesus' return. You mark it down. You take, when people stop looking for the Lord, they said, well, it won't come. I've heard about this all these years. Oh, it won't come. Oh, boy. You mark it down. That individual, number one, is not ready. That individual is not excited about heaven. That individual is not right with God. We ought to be constantly, every day, looking for His return. Every morning when I get up, I look at that old eastern sky. If I'm at home, I don't know where east is down here, but when I'm at home, I know what one to look out of. And I look at that old eastern sky, and I said, Lord, is this a day that you're coming back? Is this going to be the crowning day? Is this a day, dear Lord, that we're looking for, where we're going to be in heaven with you? What a day it's going to be. Friend, we forget sometimes how wonderful it's going to be in heaven. No more sickness, no more dialysis, amen, no more shots, no more aches and pains. I've been blessed, honey, I can tell you. I can still kick a little bit. Not too bad for a man 81, is it? You know, God's been good to me. But I thank him for it every day. I thank him for it every day. I'm looking for his return. I'm looking for what a great, great day it is going to be. Now, close with this. Look with me in verse 8. This is shouting ground. This is what I call honey bucket. Henceforth, from now on, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Did you get that? There's a crown, friend. That's one I'm going to have. I'm looking for him. There's special crown and special rewards is going to be given out in heaven to those that are looking for the Lord, looking for his return. Yeah, I want that one. I want the soul winner's crown, too. I want the faithful preacher's crown that's going to be given. I want those crowns. Why? To lay at the feet of Jesus. Let me ask you, what are you looking for? What do you think is waiting for you up there? Wouldn't it be terrible to stand before the Lord and not have any rewards? Not to have any crowns to lay at his feet? Wouldn't it be a terrible, terrible thing? And Jesus would say, hey, you mean to say after all that I have done for you, that I have forgiven you, that I have saved you, that I've prepared a mansion in heaven for you, that I have prepared all of this, and you did nothing for me? Whew. Friend, I don't want to be in that crowd. I don't want to be in that crowd. But I want to be in a crowd. If I can just hear these words here. Earl, you've been a faithful servant to me. You have preached the word of God, my word. You have traveled all over the country, and you have told them about me. And you know, I was just thinking, I don't know, maybe in the middle of the night, this thought came to me. You know, it takes the Holy Spirit to draw someone. If the Holy Spirit is not working in your heart tonight, nothing's going to happen. It takes the Holy Spirit. The second thing that it takes a preacher to preach the gospel. For the foolishness of preaching, souls get saved. Now watch this third one. It takes a person that is willing to receive the message of God. It takes those three things. I'm in a different church every week. I see it. I see all kinds. I see some dead as a doornail. I see some on fire for the Lord. Now, church next week that I'll be in, it's close to this one, not where this one is. But it's a good church, Liberty Baptist Church. They've been praying for revival. They get around the altar, the preacher says, and just weep, praying for revival. And then right after that, I go to an old tent meeting. Woo! Glory. I get excited. If this won't excite you, what in the world will? What will? If this is not going to do what it says, where else are you going to find it? It's good enough for me. It's good enough to get me to heaven. It's good enough to show me my Savior loves me. It's good enough to show me that my past has been forgiven. what could be any better? Do you have that tonight? If you don't have it tonight, don't leave those two doors until you know that you know that you know for sure you're going. Wouldn't it be terrible to hear a gospel message like you've heard tonight and leave the same way you came in? Man, we ought to be so revived. We ought to be so focused on Jesus. We ought to be so filled with praise. This is revival time. And anybody lost, this ought to be a time that you get gloriously saved tonight. What could be any better than to leave tonight knowing for sure that you've got a home in heaven? Nothing any better. Nothing any better. Nothing. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Could we sing a couple stanzas tonight in just a moment of Just As I Am? Not a long invitation, but I sure hope and pray tonight. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. And you say, Brother Earl, I can't say for sure that I'm saved, but I want to be. I want to be. I can't say I got a home in heaven, but I want to know that for sure. Right where you're seated tonight. You'll never have it any easier to get saved than what you got right now. You've heard the gospel. No one is asking you to join a church. No one is asking you to be baptized. We are asking one thing and one thing only. You make your reservations tonight so you can go to heaven, so you can have your past forgiven. God sees you tonight if you're lost as a sinner. No sinner's going to end in heaven. But he will forgive you tonight, right where you're seated tonight. Would you call on him to do that tonight? Would you do that? I beg you to. Some of you I may never see again. But I want you to know that I love you and Jesus loves you. And I want you to know you can know you got a home in heaven. Would you settle it tonight? From your heart to God's heart. He's listening right now. Would you pray a simple prayer? Tell him right now, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be forgiven. I believe, Jesus, that you are the Son of God. I believe, Jesus, you died on that cross. I believe, Jesus, you shed your blood for my sins. And I believe you rose again from the grave. And Lord, tonight, I need you. I need to be saved. And I want to know for sure I got a home in heaven. Tonight, Lord, I'm doing what the Bible tells me to do. I'm repenting and I'm turning to you. Forgive me and come into my heart right now and save my soul. The Bible has said very clearly, let redeemed say so. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, one day I'll be ashamed of you. But tonight, if you would say, preacher, I prayed that prayer. I gave my heart to Jesus and I meant it with all my heart. Tonight, would you, if you prayed that prayer, would you just raise your head and look at me? Just raise your head and look at me. Make eye contact with me. That's all that I ask. Anyone at all? Anyone at all? I don't want to miss you. Don't want to miss you. Anyone at all? Father, I thank you tonight for your presence here. Lord, I'm praying that everybody here is saved tonight. I didn't see any eyes, but God, you see the heart. But Lord, if there be one tonight, God, burden that heart right now. And Lord, I'm asking tonight that the Holy Spirit would work right now. God, maybe they're him tonight that they just need a closer walk with you. Need to rededicate their life afresh to serve you, Lord. To be a witness, Lord. God, you've done so much for us. Move in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake. Would you stand with me, please? Could we sing one stanza of that invitation, Just As I Am? Could we do that? Amen. Just as I am. Anyone tonight? I'd like a closer walk with Christ. I want to serve him more. I want to do more. Is there anyone at all here tonight would say, preacher, I need that. I need that closer walk with Christ. I need more time in the Word of God. More time in prayer. Loving the Lord. just as I am. Heads are bowed. One other stanza, and then we're going to close. Anyone? Anyone at all?
Of one dark blood to thee.